Mixtape Podcast.
Yeah, what it do? Mobbing with the crew, nothing new. I thought you knew, thought I was falling off. Blessings keep on falling through. Oh, don't panic, dog. Grow a boo, I can't lose. No, I can't lose.
Yo, 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 what's good, Knicks fans? I am Ja, so focused.
I'm French, the bro host, and we would like to welcome you to
the Knicks Take Podcast.
This is episode 77.
And this is a weekly podcast where we bring you the biggest Knicks news of the week.
Make sure to follow us on our socials. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter /X. By searching for the Knicks Take.
Also, if you're trying to find the newest episodes, if you're trying to purchase some merchandise for the Knicks Take podcast, check us out on knickstake.com. That is our website.
And lastly, if you love what you hear, please subscribe to whatever platform you're listening. It's been a minute since I messed this part up, but it's all good.
It hasn't been a minute.
Please subscribe to us on whatever platform you're watching or listening to us on. Hit the thumbs up button and notification bell if you're watching on YouTube. But most importantly, share this. Now I'm in my head. It's killing me.
It's going real slow too.
Please share this with any Knicks fans who might enjoy the show.
Please share this with any Knicks fans who may enjoy the show.
And now the show.
And now the show. All right. Maybe I should ask you again. Yeah, how are you doing this week, my brother?
Yo, no games for an entire week is kind of crazy. It's like...
We had one.
We had the All-Star game.
Two, if you count that one.
Which wasn't really a game. Mm-hmm. Even though we had some Knicks representation in there like that. Mm-hmm. I would have preferred to see Randle in the game, too, if he was going to be showing all that. There was a lot of lowlights in this game, I felt like. High scoring, no defense.
What does this
but
have
whatever,
to do with how you feel?
The week.
Stop trying to breeze through the episode.
My fault. I'm just saying that the week is influenced a lot by what happens with the NBA for some reason.
For you, yes.
For me personally. Mm-hmm. So no basketball just meant a lot of 2K.
Jalen Brunson got a higher rating, I heard, in 2K.
Yeah.
He's at like 90 something now.
I'm mostly like in the rec though. I don't really play with the players. I make my off players and people don't really care about that. How's your week?
It was all right. I very tiring week for me.
Okay.
I felt very tired this week. And, probably don't know if it's showing. I think I got enough rest last night, but yeah, I was very, very exhausted this week. But now that we've gotten through that, let's go over what we're going to talk about this week on the Knicks Take podcast. This week, not so much happened this week. Not a lot of big news for the Knicks. So we're going to go a little bit over the All-Star weekend. We've covered the Friday night. On the last episode, we'll go over what happened on Saturday and Sunday night. Go over what happened. See if French's predictions for the clean sweep of All-Star Weekend actually happened. We'll go over the Knicks versus the Philadelphia 76ers that just happened on Thursday. And then we're going to preview the next four games, going from one game to four games in a week, that the Knicks are going to have in the upcoming week. One of those or two of those games will have happened by the time this episode drops. And we'll go over some other news. Hopefully, we'll be able to get through this in slightly quick fashion.
It should be. It's only one game, not including the All-Star game. So, yeah, let's get into it. Should I start it off?
You should.
So, Saturday in Indianapolis, for some reason, it didn't seem like anyone was really happy that the All-Star game was in Indiana. But on February 17th, shout out to mommy. Happy birthday. That was her birthday.
Happy birthday, mom.
Jalen Brunson you know, started off with the 3-point contest. Mm-hmm. At least for the Knicks fans. That's where I didn't. Did you watch anything before?
Yes, I did.
The 3-point, because I didn't watch the celebrity game. I saw clips of it.
I talked about the celebrity game last episode, and the skills challenge happened before the 3-point contest. And I did watch some of that. It was interesting.
I saw that court was fire. I'm like, oh, that's nice.
I was wondering if the fix was in for Indiana, because they were in Indiana and Tyrese Halliburton has been getting a lot of love. And in the skills challenge, Indiana was really like, we gonna win this. They really like swept, it was like Indiana versus first round draft picks versus NBA All-Stars versus, I think there was another team in there. But Indiana, it was just kind of like, oh, well, yeah, y'all really doing the thing, Indiana.
Didn't they do that with the Cleveland All-Star game too? Darius Garland and them, like they always trying to appease to the home crowd, but.
Yeah, and we'll talk about the NBA's appeasement in a little bit. But Skills Challenge was fine. Skills Challenge was fine. It wasn't the biggest thing, but it was entertaining enough. It's usually the first event and for a good reason.
You watched the rookie sophomore game?
No, I told you that last week. I wasn't going to go back to it because there's no reason to.
Yeah.
So, So what happened in the...
The 3-point contest, Brunson got knocked out in the first round. Everybody scored like 20 points, which is like crazy.
Everyone
I think.
Scored 20 points. But more important than that, to get to the second round, it seemed like you were obligated to score 26.
Because 24.
Was it 24?
I
think it was 26.
Okay, yeah, it might have been 26, my fault. I think Brunson had 24.
He did. You were obligated to score 26 and nothing more because four shooters in the 3-point contest got that 26-point mark and was like, all right, second round. You're still looking up what happened.
No. I'm looking at previous years because...
Oh, if anybody had ever scored like a whole round of... Or everybody scored 20 points?
I felt like 26 was like the record at one point. Am I bugging?
I don't think... No, it wasn't the record, but...
31 was the... Steph Curry went crazy that year.
Right. Yeah, 30 has been broken a couple times. But when you get 30, it's like, yeah, you're going to win. 26 is pretty damn close to 30. And Jalen Brunson, who we both said had a chance to make it to the second round, went up there, started shooting threes, got to 24 in his last rack, which was the rack of balls,
money balls.
That were worth double. He got to 24 and he had 3 shots left. All he's got to do is hit one to make it to the second round. If he hits 2, he's going to have the highest score out of anybody. And a few guys had already scored 26 by that point. I'm like, oh, he's gonna get the high score. Da-da-da. Proceeded to miss every single shot to end his round, and was immediately eliminated because he needed to get 26 or more in order to get to the second round. They already had 3 shooters with 26. You had to score 26 to have a shot, and he did.
Yeah, he let the whole New York down, but it's all good. 24 is still a good score.
It was a damn good score, and on Friday when he was being interviewed, he said, "My only goal is to have a higher score than Julius Randle because he embarrassed himself last year," and he certainly did that.
Yeah, he did.
He certainly did that. Had a higher score. I don't know what did he have, 14, 16, something like that.
Yeah, he did bad last year, but it's all good. Yeah, he was a replacement.
Brunson was like. On Twitter, he said, "I'm a failure," and he added Spider, Donovan Mitchell. Talking to. Did you see that?
Oh,
he recorded
himself
talking to Donovan Mitchell. He said, "Say I'm a failure." And Donovan Mitchell also did not make it to the second round. He had a lower score than Jalen Brunson, which further proves the point that Jalen Brunson's only goal in life is to beat Donovan Mitchell.
I feel like he was just trying to tell Donovan Mitchell to say he's a failure because he lost him in the first round 2 years back to back. Now in the 3-point contest, he lost in the first round with him. So I don't know. That was pretty funny, though. But outside of the three-point contest, I forgot. Do you remember who won the three-point contest?
That was...
Damian Lillard, Dame, right?
Yep.
Damian Lillard. And yo, Damian Lillard's had kind of a crazy career. Remember, he was like the first player ever to be in a rookie sophomore game, skills competition, dunk contest, three-point contest, and all-star game?
I don't remember that, but I'm not surprised by that because...
And today, he's still an all-star, and he's still going to the three-point contest, and he's still competing at a high level. He was, matter of fact, I'm going to save that part for later. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, shout-out to Dame. Dunk contest time. Jaylen Brown, Jacob Toppin, Mac McClung.
And from Miami. Can't remember.
Jaime Jaquez.
There you go.
The dude that broke Julius Randle's shoulder. So...
I knew you had it in you.
And that's not, with no notes, no nothing. I remember it off the top of my head. Yeah, say y'all proud of me. All right, so look, boom. Jacob Toppin, right? I felt like he had the best dunk of the night. Jaylen Brown had by far the worst dunk of the night.
Yep.
Somehow, Jaylen Brown made it to the finals of the dunk contest, and Jacob Toppin did not make it out of the first round. It seems like there's some Knicks conspiracy going on with these competitions to make sure that we don't make it out the first round, but it's all good. But what were your thoughts on the dunk contest? I like Jacob Toppin's dunk the most.
My thoughts are that I don't know if the fix was in for the Knicks to get out of, to not make it past the first round, but there definitely was a fix. I'll give you my thoughts on this contest, and I'll give you my general slam dunk contest thoughts. It was very clear in real time that the NBA wanted Jaylen Brown to make it to the slam dunk contest finals. And that automatically put a bad taste in my mouth. I think some people were more accepting of that because of the general slam dunk contest opinions, which I'll talk about in a little bit. That the stars aren't in the slam dunk contest anymore. Nobody cares. And Jaylen Brown is ostensibly a star. And Mac McClung is a G League player. Jacob Toppin is a G League player. Jaime Jaquez is probably going to finish fifth or sixth in sixth man of the year voting. Maybe higher, but he's not a star, clearly. So, you know, the hope is to bring some of the luster back into the slam dunk contest. So, yeah, you know what? You gave him higher scores so he could make it to the second round so that we could have a good slam dunk contest. The problem with this slam dunk contest is he's not a great slam dunk contest dunker, period. Yeah. He was the worst dunker out of the four people who competed in the slam dunk contest.
He was dunks that you wouldn't even get excited for in a game.
I don't know if I would say that, but he was definitely doing his dunks were the worst. Like you just said it. All of his dunks were bad. Like I shouldn't say that. All of his dunks weren't bad. But they weren't, if you had to rank every single dunk in the slam dunk contest, his dunks were the worst ones. He had a dunk where Jason Tatum lobbed him a pass where he jumped over Kai Cenat, who's probably shorter than both of us, except Kai Cenat was not standing. Kai Cenat was sitting down on a chair.
Yeah, what was the point of him sitting down?
He's already short. You might as well have just moved Kai Cenat off the court and just had, because you're not impressing anybody when two dunks before, Jaime Jaquez is jumping over Shaq, right? Like, what is the point of that? I just watched a guy who is maybe an inch taller than you or 2 inches taller than you, jump over a 7-footer. You jumping over a 5-foot guy sitting down. Am I supposed to be impressed by that?
And the dunk itself was trash.
Was that the dunk where he did the D Brown?
And he missed the first time.
The first time he missed. And then but if he had made it the first time, all right, cool. You might give it to him.
Yeah, it was the D Brown dunk. And he did the D Brown leap.
He said, all right, I'm going to do it, but this time I'm not going to do the D Brown until the ball goes through the hoop. What's the point? You might as well just leave it like that. He said, I got it. Oh, wait, I'm supposed to. cover my eyes. No, you're supposed to cover your eyes before the dunk. I'd have respected it more if you covered your eyes and then let go early and then dunk the ball, as opposed to dunking the ball and just go, oh, everyone see that? I covered my eyes. Trash.
Long story short, four thumbs down.
He did not deserve to make it past the first round. And at that, like, the only way that you could save the second round, because you automatically know if this is how he's going to dunk, Mack McClung is going to win. The only way you save the second round is if you do some stuff in the second round that makes it worth your first two dunks not being great. And he didn't. I watched him do one dunk and I turned it off. I turned off the game. All right. Obviously, he didn't deserve to be in the second round. And now he's in his second round and he's still doing dunks that are not great. That is not better than anything I've seen in the first round.
I'm not going to lie.
I'm not going to watch this.
I fell asleep on the dunk contest. I can't even lie to you. I didn't even watch the highlights because I'm just like, bro.
Once Toppin lost, you were like, yeah, I'm over it.
Bro, Obi Toppin did a 360 two-hand.
Jacob Toppin.
Yeah, like he went. Like his dunk was better than all of Obi's dunks when he won the competition.
It was probably the second best dunk in the first round. You could argue maybe it was the best one. No. I'll say it was the second. Maybe the third best dunk in the first round. Mack McClung's dunks were really good. I would rather watch Jacob Toppin versus Mack McClung in that second round. I would rather watch Jaime Jaquez.
I feel like they got to just give up on the idea that they have to use NBA players for the dunk contest.
No, now we can get into the general slam dunk opinions, right? Because the opinions are we need to get the stars back in the dunk contest. Stephen A. Smith was just on ESPN saying, we can blame LeBron James. It's his fault that stars don't want to do the dunk contest anymore. He laid down some opinions, or not even opinions. He laid down some facts as to what LeBron did to remove the luster from the slam dunk contest and why stars don't want to do it anymore. And then I said, all right, let me look at some of the dunks from the past 10 years and see. Because I know that there have been good ones since LeBron has declined to do them. And then Donovan Mitchell has done dunk contests. He's one of the best players in the league. He's a star.
That was before he was a star.
Regardless, when most of the guys, like Jordan and all that stuff, his point was, okay, when you're young and you're anticipated to be a star, this was what you were kind of expected to do, obligated to do, and all this stuff. And
it was the norm back then, though.
It was the norm, right? You're young. You're an up-and-coming player. You could be a star. You have hops. You should do the dunk contest. And I'm looking, and I'm like, nah, there's some guys in here. Paul George was in the dunk contest. I'm like, there's some guys in here who are stars, who, you know, you could say they were projected to be stars, and we knew that they had hops, who are in here. And
when you think of the top players in the NBA, high flyers, none of those come to, like, you're not thinking of Damian Lillard and Paul George.
I mean, when Zach LaVine did it, he was considered a high flyer who was a young star. Like, there were guys in there. Maybe they're not. Here's where the comparison goes. Michael Jordan, he was a young star. He was playing great. He played in a dunk contest. One of the greatest of all time. Kobe Bryant, young star, was a high flyer. One of the greatest of all time. The next guy that you would think in those kind of, with those kind of qualities is LeBron James. LeBron James should have been in the dunk contest. Who, since LeBron, is in that MJ, Kobe Bryant heir that has been drafted? Well, not any high flyers that you could think of. It's been going more to Kevin Durant. It's been going more towards Steph Curry. Shooters.
Kevin Durant could have been in the dunk contest, though. All right, hold on. I have to think about it now.
The silence that was just me staring at the camera to just express how disgusted I was with that comment. Go ahead.
I can't really think of any high flyers because Tatum, you're not thinking of as somebody that should be in a dunk contest.
The only one that I thought of when I was thinking of this is Zion. And Zion has been hurt every year. So And nobody thinks about it, but it would be Zion. Either Zion or John Morant.
John Morant, Anthony Edwards.
Yeah. Those would be the three. Right? None of them are doing it. So if you want to blame LeBron for those three guys not doing the dunk contest or whatever, all right, cool. We've still had other guys who have been stars or whatever. And when I think about the slam dunk contest, yes, I do want to see stars doing dunks that I've never seen before. But what is the most important part of that qualifying list? It's not the stars. It's the dunks that I've never seen before.
I see guys doing dunks I've never seen before all the time on YouTube, though.
Yeah.
And it's not dunks that are impossible for, like, NBA players to do. It's just, like, they just lack the creativity to do
anybody,
it. They're not going into it like, oh, I want to put on a show. They're just doing some regular dunks.
The most important part. I'm not saying that the stars is not important. I'm just saying the most important part is seeing an NBA player doing a dunk I've never seen before. And when you're watching it, you're not doing it in front of these guys. You're not doing it in front of millions of people with cameras flashing, the production value. You're not seeing that, right? There's an
judges.
There's an air of, wow, this is spectacular because of where you're doing it, who you're doing it in front of, and who you're competing against, some of the best athletes in the world. But I don't need a LeBron James to do some of these things, right? I don't need, like, do I probably need somebody better than Mac McClung, or do I need Mac McClung to be competing against players who have bigger names? Yeah, that would help. But I tell you what doesn't help. You already kind of brought it up. The judges. I would love to watch this same dunk contest judged fairly.
Yeah.
I would have been all for if the second round was kind of like the first round, but just a little bit better. It would have been a good dunk contest. This is not a good dunk contest. NBA, listen to me right now. Don't ever do no bullshit like that again. Don't ever do no bullshit like that again, because I don't care if we're talking about Jaylen Brown, Zion Williamson, whatever. If they're going up there and they're doing terrible dunks, I don't want to watch them dunk more. I don't care who it is. I don't care who it is. If LeBron goes out there and he messes up the dunk contest, yeah, that messes up his legacy. Maybe that's why he doesn't want to do it. Me personally, I want to see the best dunks possible. And we did not get that. You screwed us out of that. Anytime that we go back in past of bad dunk contests, it's a combination of it's either a combination or it's one of two things. It's bad dunks from the dunkers, from the competitors. And when you see that, it's kind of like, yeah, we got to do something about dunk contest, man. Right? But the other one is the bad judging. And that's usually what it is.
So is one more thing.
What's the other thing?
Bad commentary. I'm getting tired of Kenny.
You're right.
Tired of hearing him on every dunk contest. Right. Like, we need some new voices on the broadcast.
I watched, earlier before we came in here, I watched some of the recaps or some of the stuff for the dunk contest. And one of the worst dunk contests, two of the worst dunk contests was because of commentary, but it was the commentary in combination with the bad dunks. It was one of the Obi Toppin wins.
Yeah.
He was the only dunker who really went out there and did stuff, and his dunks were good, but it wasn't impactful. He wasn't dunking hard. And they were commenting, and their commentary on that was fine. But they were also shitting all over the dunk contest, which is like, why am I watching this? If you are supposed to make me more hype, and all you're doing is saying, yeah, let's get rid of the dunk contest. All right, so what's the point? Yeah. Why am I watching? Turn it off. So the commentary on top of the bad dunks was like, okay, that's one of the worst dunk contests of all time. Not because Obi Toppin was bad, but because his competition was bad, and the commentary made it worse.
Yeah.
The other one is Aaron Gordon. This is something that people bring up all the time. Aaron Gordon should have a slam dunk contest victory.
I'm not going that far. I rewatched that same competition, and that one that you're talking about,
he was in more than one.
Well, the last one where they went to overtime, or the first one where they went to overtime and had to do all the back-to-back dunks. Mm-hmm. That dunk that he did wasn't better than that dunk that Zach LaVine did. I'm not going that far.
First of all, that last dunk shouldn't have happened. And that's another thing I thought of earlier today. I understand that part of this is because we are selfish as fans. So when you have two great dunkers facing off against each other like that, what we want is to see them do more, right? That dunk contest went off and they were doing stuff that we'd never seen. And whatever. It might have been one of the best dunk contests of all time. And the reason why it's not mentioned as one of the best dunk contests of all time is because the best dunk of the whole thing didn't win. He had the best dunk the whole night.
The underleg over the mascot. Right. Yeah, that was the best dunk.
Right. So you need to reformat the judging, right? Because as selfish as we are, I would rather see Aaron Gordon come back the next year with different dunks than for him to blow through all of his dunks in one contest to see who's the best dunker.
It don't need to be Aaron Gordon. We need more guys to just come out and do better dunks.
I'm not just talking about Aaron Gordon, because that dunk contest right there was the start of the end to me.
That was the best dunk contest of all time, too, though.
Right. It was. But it's not.
What you mean?
It's not revered as the best dunk contest of all time.
What is? Jordan's? Dominique's? Vince Carter's?
People will say the best dunk, the best collection of dunks of all time were in that dunk contest. But everyone always views it poorly because they think Aaron Gordon should have won because it shouldn't have gone that long. And he should have won with the dunks that he had.
The fact that it went on that long added to it, though.
It did.
And it was because Shaq told them that they needed to make it on the first try. Like, that added to it.
They should have either said they both won.
Yeah, they both should have won.
They should have both won. Which, the fact that they didn't both win, if they both won, everybody would say that's the best dunk contest of all time. They didn't both win. And if you had to pick a winner, it should have been him because he had the best dunks. We've never seen anything. He jumped over a mascot, put the ball under both of his legs and dunked it. That was probably the best dunk the whole night.
Yeah.
He should have won with that. And the fact that he didn't, you blame the judges for that. You blame the system for that. You got to revamp the whole thing. It doesn't matter. And this dunk contest proves that point. It proves that point. Because the dunk contest, the judges, just completely made a mockery of the dunk contest. Mm-hmm. This is not the first time. How many times have we seen guys with better dunks not make it onto the second round? We've seen it more than once. It's not the first time. It's not a first occasion. We've disagreed with the scores. You could hear the fans in the crowd booing. Not just because Jaylen Brown was on the court and he's a Celtic and they hate Jaylen Brown. That was part of it, too. But they were booing because they were pushing him through the contest for dunks that did not matter.
And he said he's going to participate again next year.
Nobody wants to see it. Nobody wants to see you, Jaylen Brown, in the dunk contest. Please. I would rather watch Jacob Toppin. I would rather watch Jaime Hawkins. And I would rather watch Mac McClung than to watch you in the dunk contest for a second straight year. Because you didn't deserve to be there.
I think I'm going to skip the dunk contest next year. I'm not going to lie.
No, I will watch it. I will watch it because I will. No, I should say this. If there's Nick there, I will definitely watch it. If there are competitors that I think are better dunkers than Jaylen Brown. Because remember, when we talked about it last week, we were like, are any of these guys really dunkers besides Mac McClung? Jaime Hawkins surprised me. Made me be like, you know what? I'm not going to do that again. I'm going to wait to see their dunks before I judge them. Jaime Hawkins did some stuff.
I thought of another athlete who should have been in the dunk contest.
Who?
And then after I mention him, I want to move on to the All-Star game. And then, because I'm getting bored of the All-Star weekend. I don't know about you. But
yeah, we'll go through this real quick.
The player that I'm thinking of that didn't compete, Giannis. Young Giannis would have probably just gone crazy.
I don't know if I want to see Giannis in the dunk contest now. But yeah.
Not now. Young Giannis.
Young Giannis, definitely. But anyway, NBA, fix your judging problem before trying to fix your star problem. If the judges are good, heck, if you just get rid of the judges and let the fans choose who they thought was the best, who in what order do you think the best dunks that we've seen are? we'll be fine with that. It'll be way better than this stupid system that you guys have now that seems fixed. I don't want to watch a fixed result. I want to watch the best dunkers dunk.
Yeah, I remember when the dunk contest used to be fun. Now it just makes everyone mad. But that was kind of like a precursor to the All-Star game. Mm-hmm. So let's get to the All-Star game. They went back to the East versus West format. Jalen Brunson, he scored 10 of his total 12 points.
Big numbers.
In the fourth quarter to help the Eastern Conference win the All-Star game. Mm-hmm. It wasn't really close. East basically
ran away with it.
And the final score just is crazy. 211 to 186.
Highest score in the game ever from two teams.
Which is crazy. And Damian Lillard.
No team has ever scored more than 200 points in any game in basketball.
That's just crazy. And I'm glad I fell asleep on that too. I can't watch All-Star games anymore. I don't know what it is about All-Star weekend. It doesn't do it for me like I used to.
That's another discussion that I had that I could probably go longer in, but I don't think this one, at least with the dunk contest, there is a solution and it doesn't necessarily require stars. This one is kind of hard. Like maybe you do get rid of the actual game, just vote NBA All-Stars and find something else to do with those players that will maybe one-on-one games. I don't know.
I
like the All-Star game as a concept, but I don't think it's realistic anymore to expect that.
The All-Star game format where each team were donating to like a charity of their choosing and they had like a target score. I feel like that was fun to watch that. I don't understand why they went away from that. You could still do East versus West, have East do an Eastern Conference charity or I don't know, but I don't know. They got to change something about the weekend because it's just not entertaining to watch.
Do the All-Star game and do a big three format tournament. One star, one guard, one big, one wing. You know, you get three teams on the East, three teams on the West, and make them play it out up until the finals.
Nah, I want them to stay with the format. Just do charities, just to motivate the players to play for something. And I like the 1v1 tournament too. I'd rather see that than a skills competition. To be honest with you, I'd rather see KD versus somebody like I don't know, Paul George, go 1-on-1, and then have just a competition and then have the winner get like $1 million or something like that just to motivate them to do that rather than the skills competition. Cause
I don't think
the skills competition.
I think the skills competition's fine.
It's decent. Yeah, it's not exciting for anybody.
It's something to watch. It's to build up the rest of the competitions, which it does. And it's not bad. It's what it is. It builds up the competition and you get to see stars that are not in the shooting competition and not in the dunk competition. It needs to stay. It's good. Sometimes it's fun watching them try to execute things within a timed minute frame. I'm not getting off of that three-player format. I think there's something there. But anyway. All right. Let's move on. Damian Lillard won the All-Star Game MVP. I also did not watch past the first half because there was no real reason to watch it. And we move on to the Knicks versus the Philadelphia 76ers on Monday, February 22nd. The Knicks finally saw some modicum of health, yeah. Only missing Mitchell Robinson, Julius Randle, and OG Anunoby, which is still a lot to miss, but still way more healthy than they were the last game that they played as a team, mm-hmm. Where they were missing probably six players or whatever. Knicks took control of the game early. They gained a 26-point advantage right before halftime. Sixers fought back in the second half. They cut the lead down to six in the fourth quarter, which everybody is just like, how is this possible? But, you know, they've got a good team over there. You know, even though they were missing Joel Embiid, fought back. They were motivated. They didn't want to lose this game. And Tom Thibodeau did something that we would never expect him to do, especially in crunch time. He put out a small ball lineup featuring Deuce McBride, Jalen Brunson, Dante DiVincenzo, Josh Hart, and Precious Achiuwa. And I was watching, I'm like, this guy don't like to put Jalen Brunson and Deuce McBride on the court ever at the same time, let alone with Dante DiVincenzo. Like, are we really watching this? and they didn't do it, like, by scoring. They didn't, like, put this game away scoring. They put it away on the defensive end. Jalen Brunson didn't have a great game offensively. And Dante DiVincenzo was missing a lot of shots, too. They still did what they had to do. They still put the clamps down. Knicks win this game 110-96. Three Knicks finished this game with double-doubles, including Precious Achiuwa, Jalen Brunson, and Josh Hart were the other two guys. Precious finished with... Did I say Josh Hart?
Well, Josh Hart had a triple-double.
Did he? What was the triple-double?
Oh, sorry. It says offensive rebounds and defensive rebounds next to the rebounds. I'm bugging, my fault.
All right. Precious Achiuwa finished with 18 points and 11 rebounds. He had a really good game. A lot of people were questioning what's going to happen with Precious Achiuwa. When we get to the playoffs, what's going to happen with Precious Achiuwa when we get to the offseason? And I'm not really questioning it because it is what it is.
You got to stop. Like, bro, Precious Achiuwa is good.
He is. I'm not saying he's not.
He's going to be in a rotation moving forward.
This is a good problem to have.
You got to think about it like Obi Toppin. Obi Toppin was only playing power forward for us off the bench, and mm-hmm. he didn't get any burn because of that.
Right.
We've already seen Precious Achiuwa in multiple positions, so that already raises his value. And we've seen that Tom Thibodeau trusts him to play some of the most minutes on the team. So we got to worry about him.
I'm going to make my retort quick. What was Obi Toppin's minutes production anytime Julius Randle was injured and not playing in a game?
He was the starting four.
Very good. Julius Randle is currently injured and not playing games.
Yeah, but we have other guys who could play the minutes over Precious, and he's still playing over them.
Because he brings an aspect to the game that they don't bring. Once Julius Randle comes back, once Mitchell Robinson comes back, that's two guys who are definitely going to play. Now, if you're telling me that Precious Achiuwa is going to play minutes over Bojan Bogdanović, okay, that's not something that I can say 100% will never happen. What I will say is I don't think it's going to happen.
Okay.
I do think that our starting lineup will be Jalen Brunson, Dante DiVincenzo, OG Anunoby, Julius Randle, and Mitchell Robinson. The minutes that Precious would have to take minutes from would be Julius Randle. Did I say Mitchell Robinson? Isaiah Hartenstein. Isaiah Hartenstein is going to start. Unless he's still figuring out his foot issue by the time Mitchell Robinson comes back and Mitchell Robinson is 100% healthy. Either way, one of those two guys and Julius Randle, those are the minutes he's going to be fighting for. If you want to say OG Anunoby, cool. All of those guys are going to be playing 36 minutes. Except for the five, which is 24 minutes of Mitch, 24 minutes of Isaiah Hartenstein. He's not going to play any 5 minutes unless one of those guys gets hurt. Julius Randle's going to play 35, 36. OG Anunoby is going to play 35, 36. So now let's look at the bench. People think Deuce McBride's going to play. I don't think so. Alec Burks, definitely going to play. Josh Hart, definitely going to play. I already said one of Mitch or Isaiah Hartenstein. If you think Deuce McBride is going to play, that means one of Precious or Bojan is not going to play. And they're going to be fighting for the minutes that OG and Julius Randle don't play, which is what, 28 minutes maybe? You tell me where that fits in. Do you think they're not going to play Bojan?
I don't think the guys are going to get 36, 35 minutes. I think
who starters, your coach is?
The coach was playing them the most minutes after the new year because we didn't have a bench.
Correct.
And then once we traded for our bench, the top guys were hurt.
When we had a bench, how much were those guys playing? Besides OG, because he wasn't here. Wait, how much was Julius Randle playing?
When we had a bench.
Mm-hmm.
Our bench is better now.
Yeah, and?
So they would play more than that bench that you're referring to would have.
I'm not saying that they wouldn't.
So that's why I'm saying that.
I'm saying that he's.
We got to pay
bonds.
I'm
saying that Julius Randle is going to play no matter what, 35, 36 minutes.
I don't believe that. I think he's going to play like 30
Unless
minutes.
Unless he's on a minutes restriction.
I think he's going to play 30 minutes. 30 minutes is enough production that you need from Julius Randle, especially with the way that he plays.
Julius Randle is too important to Jalen Brunson and vice versa.
And Precious is gaining
those two guys,
chemistry with them as well.
He's not gaining anything with Julius Randle. OG Anunoby, Jalen Brunson, and Julius Randle are the three most important players to us winning games as a team. There's no question about that. And when you are considered the most important thing to winning a game of basketball, when you are Tom Thibodeau, your response is, I'm going to play those guys as many minutes as I can without overplaying. And that's what he does. And that's why he wins.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why Precious, unfortunately, when we are fully healthy, I'm not saying he's not going to play. He's not going to be averaging the most minutes in the league like he is right now.
Absolutely not.
Right? He's going to see minutes cut.
For sure.
And when he sees that minutes cut, it's going to be drastic. Because there's not going to be enough time for him unless you're saying you're not going to play Bojan Bogdanović.
I'm saying Bojan's still going to play.
Mm-hmm.
I think the minutes are going to just be cut up. Randle is not going to be relied on to play as many minutes because he has backups who has gained the trust of Tom Thibodeau.
I get your point.
If Randle's not having a great night, he's not going to continue to stay out there singing it up. I tell you that. The game that we blew out Philly where Embiid was playing and Randle was having an awful game, you don't think Precious is going to be playing in games like that? Bogdanović is going to be playing in those games?
I get your point. Right? Get your point. I just know my coach. I get your point. I know my coach.
We'll see.
And my coach is not going to play Julius Randle an average of 30 minutes. The only way that Julius Randle will play an average of 30 to 32 minutes is if we're blowing teams out. And if that's the case, yeah, Precious will get burned. It's not going to happen in the playoffs, though. So anyway, let's move on from that. Speaking of Julius Randle,
yeah.
What else happened this week?
Randle got to address the media for the first time since his injury. He said that there's still a possibility of surgery, but the Knicks seem to be optimistic that he'll be able to play again this season.
Mm-hmm.
But surgery's not off the table.
What are your thoughts on that?
Worrisome, but I try to look at things with the glass half full because there's always a positive to every situation, right?
Mm-hmm.
In the situation where Julius Randle goes down, what do you think are the... Do you feel like there's any chance for the Knicks to do anything this year if we don't have Randle?
What's do anything?
What are your expectations today if we have Randle? Do you think they can win a championship? Is it a possibility?
I've already said that I don't think that we can win a championship, but I do think that we could probably make a finals push. If we have Julius Randle, and if we don't have Julius Randle, I don't think that push is likely. I think that we would be a second round team at best.
I believe we have the roster, like this roster right here, can pick up the Julius Randle loss.
Yeah.
If he has to have surgery, I believe Precious Achiuwa has shown that he can put up the numbers that Randle has put up, but maybe not in the playoffs. I'm saying, though, he had a game where he had 20-10-5. He's shown that he's capable of it. I'm not saying he could do that every night, but if we have guys like Bogdanović coming off the bench who's shown that he could get hot, go 6-for-6 from three in this game against Philly, he had a spark in another game before the All-Star break where he just lit up the other team in the fourth corner for like four possessions straight. Like, without Randle, we still going to be able to get that scoring output from guys on his team. And
your point is
rebounding and assists. So
your point, which I agree with, is mm-hmm. Precious Achiuwa and Bojan Bogdanović can replace most of what Julius Randle brings when he's playing and he's healthy.
Not just them two, the entire team.
Statistically. No, it's not just them two, but no, the whole team can make up for what Julius Randle does in entirety.
Mm-hmm.
With that said, the team plus Randle is better than the team without Randle, right? You're not sitting here saying that the team is going to be better without him.
They can be just as good.
They can extend themselves. No, they can't be just as good. Not at its best. You're missing a big piece, a big and vital piece with Randle. And Jalen Brunson extends himself to replace what he's missing with Randle. Bojan extends himself. No, he probably doesn't know what it's like, but he can, what he naturally does, can replace some of what Julius Randle does. Precious Achiuwa does some of what Julius Randle brings. The thing that is missing is the thing that Julius Randle brings that makes those guys' lives easier. And that is the part that you're not mentioning and you're not discussing. And that's what is going to make this team go deep into the playoffs. They can't, if Julius Randle is out there and he's bumming it, this Knicks team can make up for that as they are currently constructed. Julius Randle at his best, or not even at his best, Julius Randle at his regular, does for this team something that this team cannot make up for, and that is his ability to grab double teams.
Mm-hmm.
These guys are not attracting the attention that Julius Randle does. And that makes everyone's lives harder. So while your point is valid in terms of statistically and all of that stuff, he is too important to not have for the final stretch.
Quick point. Because you're looking at it as the benefits that Julius Randle brings to the team. But you're also ignoring the mistakes that he makes and the fact that he's going to be injured.
I'm not ignoring.
When he is injured and when he has been in the playoffs and he made these mistakes, you wish that you had somebody that you can take him off the court for.
It's
that
not,
you can trust
those points do
in
not,
those moments.
Those two points do not knock each other out, right? What I wish is for Julius Randle himself to be better. Or I wish that there was a player that we could acquire for Julius Randle who can do 90% of what Julius Randle brings positively and eliminates his negatives. That player does not exist, or we cannot trade for them. And, the absence of his positives... the absence of his positives and negatives doesn't mean that the rest of the team won't suffer when he's not there. They are suffering with him not being there.
I'm saying that there's going to be suffering regardless because there is no scenario where he's going to be playing healthy in the playoffs this year. His shoulder issue is going to be bothering him the whole season.
Whether he's healthy or not, his ability to attract the double team is going to be vital in the playoffs. And that's it. And there's no other player on this team who can attract the amount of attention that he does to help the rest of this team. That's what's going to be needed. They need that, and they don't have that, and they're going to need that. So I'm going to quickly, because we're going to go long, quickly go over a conversation I had with my friend. My boy Ryan was like, it sounds like he's going to be out for the rest of the season. And I'm going to just say, anybody who believes that, I've heard, seen it on Twitter after he said that. If you believe that, listen, just slow your roll, right? If, just because there's still a possibility of surgery, doesn't mean that you are wrong for feeling like, oh, if they already know that he's going to be out, they're not going to push him to try to come back to see if maybe we can make, we're going to know. When he's out, when they know it's not going to work, that's when we're going to know. We're not going to know it now. In a couple weeks, things are probably going to change. And we'll, all right, yeah, whatever. He's not going to play. Right now, there's still a possibility that he's going to play. That interview where he's saying, yeah, it's possible. Maybe he knows he's going to have surgery. Doesn't mean that he's not going to play for the rest of the season. It could be a surgery that happens in the offseason. So just keep your fingers crossed. Like my brother French just said, there's no possibility that he's not going to be, there's no possibility where he's going to be 100% healthy for this playoff run. We don't need him to be 100% healthy for this playoff run. We need some of the things that he brings. And if there's a possibility that he can be a part of the team and attract attention, that's what we need to be worried about for any kind of push. All right. One other news piece, and then we'll go into the previews. I know you got more to say, but we got to.
Can I just say one thing?
Quickly.
One quick thing. I disagree with your point that we need someone else to that is able to attract double teams, because I don't want to compare teams, but like there's definitely teams that have made it to the finals with just one guy who is just better than everybody else, outperforms other guys, and they don't attract double teams or have multiple players that attract double teams. They just had a great all around team that played really well together. And I feel like this team all around has great chemistry. They play very well together. Great defense. They rebound.
They're not the only team that has all those things. It's going to be about who can do this in a 7-game series and outlast the other team.
Yeah, they don't have
Brunson. Who has more guys who can attract double teams and make the rest of their teams
better. Has the best closer?
That too.
That's what it comes down to.
It's going to be more than that. And what you're talking about is a finals run and championship run that, yeah. All right, KD. Kevin Durant was recently in an interview, recounted his feelings on why he didn't go to the Knicks in an interview with him and his agent. Basically, walking back some of his comments about the Knicks not being cool. We already know all this. There's no need to debate this, right?
There's no debate. He
should have went to the Knicks.
You gotta talk with some respect about the Knicks now. He can't.
And he acknowledged that.
Yeah.
All right. Upcoming games today, as we are recording, the night that we are recording, the Knicks will play against the Boston Celtics, best team in the NBA, 44-12 record. I'm not feeling pretty good about this with no Randle and no OG and an OB, specifically OG. I think we could win without Randle against the Boston Celtics in today's game. Mm-hmm. I don't think that we can win without OG. How are you feeling?
They last lost to the Lakers with no LeBron.
Mm-hmm. I remember.
No Anthony Davis.
I'm not saying that they can't
lose.
So
it ain't impossible.
No, it's not.
They've lost to worse teams than us before. They lost to the Pacers. They lost to the Bucks. Yes. Like, I think we can beat them. I'm never going to count us out.
They've also played 56 games and only lost 12. So
that's a cute stat.
That's not to say that they can't be beat. That's just to say, like, okay, yeah, that happened, and it could happen for us. I don't feel good about it without OG Anunoby. That is a stacked team who seems to go long stretches of time without having serious injury issues.
We a stacked team too.
We are. All right. Next up.
Knicks are going to be playing the Detroit Pistons Monday, February 26th at MSG. The Pistons, as you know, worst team in the NBA, 8-47 record right now. Mm-hmm. This is going to be the first time that Quentin Grimes and Evan Fournier are going to be playing back in the Garden.
If Grimes is healthy, yeah.
He should probably be healthy by then, hopefully. But I'm looking forward to seeing Evan Fournier. I know he's probably going to try to light us up. Sitting on the bench for over a year and a half. I know he's steaming. He
pushed Obi Toppin the other day.
Yeah, he did. But Obi was doing too much. Obi low key being weird on Indiana. I don't really like this new Obi. How you feel about him? But any of these games where you're playing former Knicks, I'm always watching them with like magnifying glasses just to see how they acting in the Garden and how they acting against the Knicks, like being on the other side now rather than being teammates and stuff. So like, mm-hmm. I think Fournier gonna like. He's going to try and go off for like 40, but they still going
to
lose.
I'm not worried about Fournier. And to answer your question, I agree with you. Obi is, I don't know if he's being weird. He's trying to, now that he is free to be himself. He's trying to figure out who he has, is as an NBA player. He's not doing nothing too disrespectful. So whatever. Whether he may keep going that way, he may not. We'll see. We'll know by in a couple years how we really feel about Obi Toppin. I think that in regards to this game, did you say who you thought was in? Well, we're definitely going to win.
Yeah, we're going to win. I said that Fournier going to go off and then still lose. Win. Yeah,
I'm not worried about Fournier going off. And I think that it will be important that Fournier doesn't go off because the Knicks need to absolutely put this game away before the fourth quarter because this is the first half of a back-to-back. The second half of a back-to-back will be against the New Orleans Pelicans, 34-23 record. They are currently fifth in the Western Conference. Mm-hmm. They're a very weird team. They're one of a few teams that the Knicks have not beaten this season. We've only played them once. We are 0-1 against them.
One of our worst losses this year.
Yes, but they were also different team schematically. They hadn't figured themselves out, and they kind of have figured themselves out, but they're still... People don't know what to make of the Pelicans. They should be better. Zion has played 46 games. This is the 40-something games. This is the second most amount of games he's played in his entire career. I think that this Knicks team is better than... This Knicks team knows who they are, and I'm not sure that the Pelicans know who they are. So I'm going to say that the Knicks are going to win. I would not be surprised if they lose to this team, though.
I'm going to be at this game. I'm going to say this out loud, and I don't really want to, but the Knicks have not lost all season to any game that I've been to, and I'm hoping that this streak continues. I didn't like the way that we lost to the Pelicans last time we played. Mm-hmm. But I have confidence that now, All-Star break passed, they should be on a nice little winning streak again. Wait, did I give my prediction to the Boston game? I said we was going to win, right? Yeah. I say, yeah, I think the winning streak from the All-Star break, we won the last game. We're going to win tonight, Boston. We're going to win Detroit. And I think we're going to close this game out with another victory. I feel like this is going to be a really close game, though. Zion is probably going to go off. It's in MSG. Zion loves to play in the Garden. He want to be a Knick. This is probably his opportunity to promote himself to be a Knick. I don't know. This is going to be a close game, though. This might go to overtime.
Okay.
This is one of those games that are going to sneaky, like...
We haven't had any overtime games this season.
Nah. This is one of those games where I feel like we match up really well with them. They have a lot of guys on their team. I like Herb Jones.
Who matches up with Zion?
Nobody.
Okay.
If we would have had... Well, Precious is probably going to be on Zion.
Precious will be on him for sure.
But if we would have had Randle, this would probably would have been... Well, damn, nah. Because Zion wild Randle up last time. He was making him look like a child. Remember that? Mm-hmm. But... I don't know. Zion is going to be the X factor of this game.
Randle also, I don't think was, that was back. He started off the season pretty bad. It wouldn't have been the same Randle if he were healthy.
It wouldn't have been. But I still think the Knicks are going to win this game. So what's that? 4-game win streak going into Golden State. What are your predictions against the Pelicans? You said that the Pelicans are going to win?
I did.
I bet.
No, I didn't. I said the Knicks are going to win, but I wouldn't be surprised if the Pelicans won.
Okay.
My only loss so far was the Boston Celtics.
That you went to in person?
No. I mean...
Oh, you were talking about this week. Oh, okay. Any of the games that you went to this year, were they losses?
Yes.
How many?
I don't know.
A few?
I'm not keeping count. What do you think? I got... All right, we won this game, but I'm just there to enjoy the vibes, bro. The one game I went with, I witnessed my mother's first loss.
The Mavericks? No, that wasn't the Mavericks.
I don't remember what game it was, but she was there for one of the losses. Anyway, next game.
I was at
the
Heat game where they came back from 20. I thought they was going to lose that game. But the next game, yeah, Golden State.
I was there too.
I forgot you was there.
Yeah.
Thursday, February 29th. Another 8:30 game. I don't know why they keep making this play at 8:30 at home in New York. Like, bro, I don't care if they're coming from the West Coast. This is our time. 7:30.
That might be my mistake, actually.
All right, see. I'm over here giving ABC. Well, is this going to be on ABC or MSG? I think this is going to be an MSG game. But either way, Golden State's coming into town. Mm-hmm. The Warriors have a 29-26 record, but we know that that doesn't mean anything when it comes to this team. Steph Curry could go off of 50 at any moment. Klay Thompson, even though he's having like a bad season, a bad Klay Thompson season to the standard that he set for himself. Draymond keeps getting suspended for punching people in the face and kicking people in the nuts, stepping on ribs, putting people in headlocks. Mm-hmm. What else he got in trouble? He got in trouble for a lot of shit. But long story short, Golden State Warriors are still a threat. Mm-hmm. I think they're going to win this game.
Okay. Warriors have been playing very well. They are the 10th seed, but I don't think they're going to stay there. It would have been great to have OG. This is one of two games that I think would have been great to have OG for, the Boston Celtics being the first one. I don't know if we win this one without him, with them streaking the way that they are, but no, I'm going to say the Knicks are going to lose too. So they're going to go 2-2 this week, with the two wins being, for me, the two wins being Detroit and New Orleans, the two losses being Boston and Golden State. You think their only loss will be Golden State Warriors?
Yeah, and I think OG's going to come back this week.
No, he's not. All right. that's all. I think that's all we got for today. That should be all we got today. Thank you guys for listening. We appreciate you guys. We love you. Make sure you check out the Knickstake.com website. That's Knickstake.com. Check out our merchandise. Buy some merchandise. We got some hats. We got some cups. We got some
hoodies, sweats, everything.
Go ahead. If you guys need anything, go have a blast. Have a ball. All proceeds will go to for funding the Knicks Take podcast. I'm done. You got anything you want
to
say?
Add everything to the card. It's on me. Just write some stuff in the comments. Tell me that you love us, and then subscribe.
Okay.
Send it to some Knicks fans who might enjoy the show.
Very generous of you.
You feel me? It's on me. Mm-hmm. Let's have a blast.
I don't know if that's what you want to say, but go ahead. All right.
With no further ado,
we'd like to bid you adieu.
And thank you for listening to
the Knicks Take podcast.
Peace, y'all.
Peace.
Knicks Take podcast.
Yeah, what it do?